Dawn, I'm an addict. Those readings went by fast. So my topics, 1, 2, 3, sticking to a topic is not my strong point because I have these thoughts to go this way and that way and this way, and I think you guys all do too, so hopefully you can relate and keep up. It's a pretty simple topic, right? Step 1, 2, 3, I can't, he can, so I think I'll let him. The 1 and 2 part's super easy, you know what I mean? It's just the step 3. That can be a challenge sometimes, and when I came around here, I wasn't willing to surrender to anything. You know what I mean? I wanted to do things my way. And I wasn't a one-timer. You know, I came in and out, in and out, in and out. And, I could admit that I was powerless over the drugs, but finding a new way to live was something I struggled with. And, I beat my head up against the wall for years, just not being able to surrender. And, through trial and error and lots of self-inflicted pain, I got that part down, and it was obvious to me that, drugs made my life unmanageable, normal people just don't go through the things that I went through in my life, but it took years and consequence after consequence for me to come to that conclusion, it was always somebody else's fault, it was always, oh my God, God's punishing me, because I did too many bad things, now this is happening, and it was never my fault, and it took me for years to look at my part, you know what I mean? But it wasn't until I completely surrendered, because I came around, and I didn't hear where they said alcohol was a drug. I could not fathom not drinking alcohol. What am I going to do? How am I going to have fun? Am I going to be boring? What am I going to do? So, I was court ordered to come here. It was either go to prison or get clean, right? And so getting clean didn't sound too bad. And but I didn't follow the suggestions right away. I did Dawn's, program. I pick and choose what I wanted to do. And, I got what I got. And it wasn't until I fully surrendered to the fact that I can't drink, because I try to, manage it. I'm just going to drink on the weekends, or I'm going to go to this home group that I have here on a Friday night, and then I'm just going to drive over to South Baltimore in the city and hang out with all my friends in the bar, and I'm just going to show them how good I'm doing, And I didn't want to change the people, places, and things. I came in here full of fear. It took so much courage for me to come in here, and I sat in the back. I showed up one time. I sat in the back. I didn't talk to anybody. I sure didn't want to hug anybody. But the longer I came around, they say if you bring the body, the mind will follow, right? And the longer I came around, the more attractive what you guys had looked to me. And, once again, it wasn't because I wanted to. It was because the probation officer said, if you get one more dirty urine, I'm going to violate you and I'm going to put you away, right? And that just didn't appeal to me. So that's when, because I came around for 3 years, and I would get 30, 60, 90 days, 6 months a couple times. I even lied about clean time and then had to go back and get honest and pick up key tags backwards, right? How humiliating was that? But then when I heard somebody said, I did that too. That's what this program has done for me. It lets me know that I'm not alone in anything I'm going through. Anything I've done, somebody else has already done it, and they're going to show me how to get through it clean. And, my recovery hasn't been perfect, but that's the one thing I've done consistently is just not pick up, one day at a time. Once I was able to do the initial surrender, okay, God, I get it. I can't drink alcohol. I'll drink iced tea with my crabs, right? And once I was able to get that part down, it was such a big weight off of my shoulder that I could just say, whew, because I fought and fought and fought. You know how we try to control, I'm just going to do it on Saturday, I'm just going to do this little bit, I'm just going to do this drug, you know what I mean? And even after the drugs were gone, I still had the obsession and the compulsion and the voice in my head telling me I wasn't good enough. Nobody likes me. Oh, my God, you can't walk across the floor to get a coffee. They're all looking at you. They're talking about you. And it was just oh, my God, is my head ever going to shut up? And they say, the literature says that the first step leaves a vacuum in our lives, right? So now what? So now I've surrendered to this new way of life, and I'm here, and I put down the drugs. Now what do I do? You know what I mean? Now it's going to make, how am I going to be happy? Like, how am I going to talk to you? Like, how am I going to, like, do my job? Like, how am I going to do anything? Like, how am I going to be okay in my own skin, right? Because that's what the drugs did for me. The drugs made me feel okay in my own skin. And I didn't feel okay in my own skin after that, you know what I mean? But I kept coming back. You guys told me to keep coming to meetings, get a sponsor, get a home group, get a God of my understanding, you know what I mean? Pray to God. Like, my God had always been a jackpot God. Like, God, please just get me out of this. I promise I won't do it no more, you know what I mean? And like I said, it was a punishing God. And so then, you know, then there's step two, like, you know, we can be restored to sanity. And I'm not quite sure. I mean, I'm restored in a lot of areas, but I can still do some insane thinking. It's funny. I remember the first time I did a meeting, right? And I had heard how people so eloquently go through the steps and they make it sound all good. And I got the steps too. And I said, no, I was restored to sanity, right? And the whole room just cracked up laughing, right? Because that's definitely a step I haven't practiced perfectly either. But they say the only one you have to practice perfect is the first step, right? So, like, as long as you're willing to keep coming and keep showing up and keep doing the work, like, we can get better. And it's at our own pace. And, So, like, I've done a lot of crazy stuff in my recovery, like, they participated in the insanity, and it wasn't until, like, I had enough pain with those areas in my life that I was willing to do something different, just like the drugs. You know, my biggest struggle in recovery is the unhealthy relationships, right? And everybody would tell me, oh, my God, you're doing it again, you're doing it again, you're doing it again. I don't care how many times you can tell me exactly what's going to happen with this relationship, but I'm not going to listen to you because I need to do it my way, and I need to hit my head up against the wall, like, however many times did I need to do it before I learn. And, but like I said, like, as long as I still keep coming here, like, I've been in lots of relationships with using addicts, and I was doing stuff that wasn't conducive to my recovery, but the one thing I've always done is I came here, and I told on myself, and I raised my hand, no matter how many crazy I sounded about what I was doing, and I told the whole meeting, like, what I was doing, you know what I mean? And I stayed connected, and I went to meetings, and I talked to my sponsor. I never had a problem getting honest. I got honest right away. Maybe a little bit too much so in the beginning, you know what I mean? Not everything is for everybody, but, I did that, and, you know, the network, I got the network of women. That didn't happen, like, to my own doing. Like, when I got here, I didn't really want a lot of parts of women. I didn't trust them. They always wanted everything, and I had. And that's probably, you know, after doing some set work, because I didn't trust myself, and I was that kind of woman as well. So once I was able to, like, you know, get with the women and let them teach me how to be a woman, like, a lot of change occurred there, and I could trust somebody to tell them exactly what's going on inside my head, you know, because the thoughts we have in our head, we think they're the most insane thoughts ever, but as soon as we share it with someone else, they're like, oh, my God, I had that thought, too, or if I'm thinking of, like, this crazy idea, something I want to do, right, and I tell somebody else, and they're like, that's not really a good idea, you know, and I'm going to, like, call the next person up and see if I can find somebody to co-sign my outrageous, insane behavior that I want to act out on. And in the beginning, I didn't know what that was, you know what I mean? After coming around for a little while and doing some work on myself, I can tell the difference between the disease and God, you know what I mean? Because you got the disease on this shoulder and you got God on this shoulder. And the more you come, like, the louder your higher power will get, you know what I mean? We can quiet down that disease, but that's not always true, you know what I mean? There's times, and like, you know, the drugs are just a symptom of our disease. Like, I found many other manifestations in my life, probably in the almost 20 years I've been coming around, there probably hasn't been very many long periods of time where I haven't been acting out on something. Now, I have sat still, and I have been raw, and I've had felt some stuff, but I prefer to act out in some kind of way, right? And like these days, it could just be shopping, or it just could be food, you know what I mean? And it's just the obsession and the compulsion, and that's where God comes in for me, because sometimes, like, I can't fight the disease on my I can never fight the disease on my own. You know what I mean? I need you guys, and I need my higher power. And You know, as soon as I was able to, like, come to believe there's a power greater than myself. No, I'm sorry. As soon as I was able to, like, turn things over to my higher power, like, that's where the freedom came from. And it took years for me to fully trust God. You know what I mean? Because, like, each thing, crazy thing I would put myself in that I would get through to the other side, I'll be like, oh, my God, like, because everybody's like, oh, just sit still, you know, when you're going through the feelings and you're going through the hard, sit still, it's going to be so good on the other side, just hang on, just don't use, you know what I mean? And at the time, you feel like you're dying, right? And then you get to the other side, and you see the lesson, you see the rainbow, and you're like, oh, my God, I did it, and you feel stronger, and it's so empowering, right? And so, like, after all those, like, unhealthy relationships where I had to go through the breakup where I was curled up in a fetal position thinking that I didn't, you know what I mean, I wasn't going to make it, and I got through, like, my insanity got less and less, and I was able to, like, turn it over to God, because God's way is always going to be better than mine, and I can't always see that because I want to control and manipulate. I want to fix it, right? And once I, even after I surrendered to the fact that I have to turn my, you know, turn my will and life over to the care of God for myself, well, now I'm going to start controlling, like, you. You know what I mean? I can't, God's got this, but I'm going to fix you, and I'm going to fix you. I'm going to fix my daughter, and I'm going to get this girl at work. You know what I mean? She's just not doing it right. So then I start going down that whole, that rabbit hole, and that can get even worse. And, like, pretty much I'm powerless over everything except my ideas, actions, and behaviors, right? And, like, with the relationship thing, like, that's what I struggled with for years. Once I was able to turn it over to God and, like, just fully surrender, okay, God, I get it. I'm going to sit by myself. I'm not going to put a time limit on it. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to take my will back. I'm just going to sit by myself. I want to learn to love Dawn and get to know Dawn and what Dawn likes without having to be defined by a man or having to have a man validate me. And, you know, I had to get some outside help. And it was tough, but it was one of the most rewarding things I did. And I didn't do it until I had 12 years clean. You know what I mean? 12 years clean that I just beat my head against the wall doing it my way. And everyone told me for years, just sit by yourself for a year, right? I started out in increments. I said, I'll just do it for 90 days, right? Made it 65. Oh, I'll do 6 months. I made it 8 months. I'm like, oh, you're getting somewhere. You know what I mean? So I was still trying to manage and control stuff. And once I was able to, like, fully surrender and just take my hands out of it, it's gotten so much easier. And I can't tell you I don't take my will back, right? There's days where I have to turn it over a couple dozen times. And I just can't, you know, I get so caught up in what I want when I want when I want it. And I want it now, right? Sometimes God's answer isn't yes or no. Sometimes it's wait, right? And that's not the answer I want. And there's been times where I prayed things into my life and then I had to pray to have them removed. So as long as I just stay in alignment just for, you know, God's will for me, and I just keep showing up and doing the footwork, showing up, helping newcomers, going to my home group, being there for my family, you know, we get around here and we start running all these meetings and all these conventions and all this stuff we're doing, and we're still not there for our families, right? So I had to take a look at that too. Like, we have to slow, like, when I first got clean, like, running, being constantly busy and running was a form of escape for me. And I did it for a couple years, and I had to take a look at it. Like, what are you running from? Because we actually run from ourselves and just stay so busy because we don't want to sit still with ourselves long enough. And I've gotten to a place in my recovery where I'm comfortable in my own skin. Sometimes I'm a little too comfortable. And sometimes sitting at home is a little too comfortable, and I have to force myself. Now it's, you know, I haven't been able to find the, you know, the balance yet. It's either up here or down here. It's like, oh, you're going to too many meetings. Oh, now you're not going to enough. You're doing, you know what I mean? You know, the one of the biggest lessons that's helped me get outside of my house, outside of myself in a healthy way, it's helping others. Like, I love helping other people. Like, the feeling I get from being totally selfish and just, like, giving away what was freely given to me just makes me feel so good, right? And it doesn't cost any money, and I don't gain weight. And you know what I mean? It's just, like, great. And, like, that's how this program works. And, you know, a lot of people come around here and they get the blessings and they go back out the door. And then 9 out of 10 that they stop giving it away, they stop coming around. 9 times out of 10 you see them coming back with their tail between their legs. And even with, you know, the recovery and the clean time I have, I'm still afraid of the disease. I'm not the addict that's going to tell you using cannot be a part of my story. I might not be one bad decision away from using, but there's a couple bad decisions out there that's one that was, you know, could cause me to pick up. I don't ever forget where I came from, and I don't want to go back out there. I would not make it out there right now with the way the drugs are and the way this world, I would be dead, like, before you know it, like, and just the thought of, you know, my family, and you know, I have grandchildren. I have 3 grandchildren that's never seen me use, right? And I just can't imagine the hell that I would put my family through, and not only my family, me, if I went back out there and picked up. So I do the uncomfortable things that I don't want to do. I don't always want to come in here and tell you guys what's going on. I don't always want to pick up the phone and say, can you, and I definitely don't want to say, can you please help me? Because don't you know I'm going to help you, right? I have a hard time accepting help. But I have to humble myself, and I have to ask help when I need it, because I can't do this alone. You know, and most days I'm pretty good at it. But there are some times, you know, like, you know, if I get too comfortable staying home, and then I haven't gone to a meeting in 3 or 4 days, and then, you know what I mean, and then my disease will start talking to me. Oh, well, you don't have any friends. Nobody's even called you. You didn't go to your home group. Nobody even said, you know what I mean, like, those people, like, you know what I mean? And then the next thing you know, like, my disease is going to have me backed over in a corner here by myself, to have me isolated where it wants me to be. And as long as I stick to the basics, and that's step 1, 2, and 3, right? Stick to the basics. I don't ever have to go back there. Like, step 1, 2, and 3 helps build us our foundation for, like, the steps that are yet to come. You know what I mean? When we start doing a peeling of the onion, we need that strong foundation. We need a higher power. And we need, I need all you guys too. I don't ever want to know what it's like to have to come back in here and pick up a 1-day key tag. That's even if I make it back. And like, the steps have fully changed my life. And it's not like I'm not done yet. I have to keep showing up and keep doing the work. And as long as I'm willing, and as long as I am able to just keep, just keep coming back, you know what I mean? Like, if you're new here and this is your first convention, like, just take it all in, you know what I mean? Get somebody's number. Give us your number. Like, reach out. Like, if you're struggling, reach out. Like, this disease, like, wants your life, and it doesn't have to be that way. I know it doesn't feel like that when you're new and you come in here, but we are good people, and we will help you. We'll learn to love. We'll love you until you learn to love yourself. And I don't know, things are saying how much time I'm
good.
I don't know what else to say, like, about step 1, 2, and 3. Just do them. Right? And don't stop there. Like, don't be afraid of that scary 4-step that everybody talks about. Like, because that's where we get to, you know, unload all of our skeletons in our closet. And that's where we can identify our patterns and our behaviors, so we can learn to, like, live a new way of life. And, you know, we have to live our way into a new life instead of thinking. Because even on my good days, sometimes I can't think my way out of something. Sometimes I have to call somebody and say, hey, this is what I'm thinking. Like, you know, what should I do? And I've been making healthy decisions on a pretty consistent basis for a good number of years. Like, you know, when I learned how to be responsible, I learned how to be respectful. You know, I learned how to not be so brutally honest and not have to tell you stuff that you didn't ask me for. Like, I've learned how to pretty much carry myself. And, like, it hasn't always been like that. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of times I want to force my will on you. You know what I mean? This is what you need to do, and this is how you need to do it. And I don't even know where I'm going with that. Like, I'm running out of things to say. I know Billy Moe's going to kill me because I'm getting ready to get out off here. But I'd like to thank the Northeast Freedom Area and James for asking me to do this meeting. It's very nerve-wracking for the last 3 hours. Like, I was so impressed with myself that I didn't get nervous, and then all of a sudden I get here, and it's like, oh, my God. But just keep coming back and, like, work the steps. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you.
like to introduce our next speaker, Billy M.
Grateful recovering addict named Mo. It's awesome to be able to say that, man. Recovering addict named Mo. Because like Dawn was saying, I ain't the first time around here, man. You know, they say a grateful addict will never use. Well, I was ungrateful, man. You know, I come around here, put a lot of days together and perpetrated, right? And never had the ability to get honest. I couldn't admit I was powerless over anything, right? I didn't believe in the disease of addiction. Thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. Thank God for sponsorship. Thank God for the predecessors around here that wasn't scared to hurt my feelings, right? Because when I come around here, there's a guy named Charlie J. I said, well, I don't believe in the disease of addiction. And he said, I don't give a fuck what you believe in. And he smacked me with a step working guy. He says, this is the antidote to what you suffer from. And I went to my sponsor. And I said, John, I said, I don't believe in the disease of addiction. He said, believe in the process, bro. Mm. And I started writing steps, man. And I started working the first step. And I admitted I was powerless over the addiction, and my life is kind of manageable, right? It was obvious. I was broken. You know, I was in front of O'Connor's Liquors on Eastern Avenue after having thousands of days clean, with holes in my Jordan sweats, with blood on my t-shirt, in the darkest place I've ever been in my life, and didn't have the ability. I was praying for the courage to walk in to help myself, man, knowing that there's a better way, right? But the disease of addiction is so powerful, right? I kept $10 in my pocket for just in case money, to break in case of emergency. And I finally got the courage, you know, and walked in there, and I remember, man, like it was yesterday, being in the psych unit, smelling like stir-fried shit, hopeless, after having everything you all promised me, man, you know, a life beyond my wildest dreams, freedom. One promise you all give me is freedom from active addiction, right? All the other freedoms take work, right? And I was in there, man. If anybody's been in detox, you know, you got that happy-ass nurse. Not understanding God works through people, right? And I hear this. I'm fentanyl gray. I'm ill. And I don't disrespect anybody verbally, but I think it. And I remember, like it was yesterday, her opening the door saying, Will, group. And I'm thinking, bitch, would you get out of this room, man? She wasn't giving up. She come back. And she says, come on, Will. It's arts and crafts day. I said, well, I better get my happy ass to that meeting, right? And it's the first time I practice any humility in a long, long time. I walked in there and I looked to the left. There was a bunch of us. And I looked to the right, and there was people that suffered from mental illness. And I said, who's the crazy one here? A guy that just had a life beyond his wildest dreams to put in a cooker? Or them? And that's when I surrendered, man. That was my first surrender. I said, I'm beaten. I'm broken, man. I'm done. And I made that phone call to the same guy I called from the corner of Connor's Liquors, a predecessor of mine. They said, bro, just go in, we got you. And he kept his word, man. And like I said, I come out, and I asked my sponsor to sponsor me. He said, there's two things you're going to do, bro. He said, you're going to work steps, and you're going to help somebody. And I'm here to tell you, I kept my word. And the second surrender for me, when I surrendered to the program, that's when my life changed, man. It talks about it in the first step. It says, our second surrender allows us to gain hope into the second step, right? Because, see, it was real easy to see that outward unmanageability in my life. But I never had the ability to tell people about the inward unmanageability that was going on in my head since I was a little-ass kid. right? Them self-destructive thoughts that I didn't think was ever going to stop. I didn't think in the second step it says the restoration process, right? How can you restore something that's never been right? I've been sick and twisted. I didn't know there was a solution. You know, I come around here, I prayed, I went to meetings, I didn't pick up. I got a sponsor by name, I got a home group, I had an H&I commitment. I didn't work steps. The disease slow walked me right to a bag of dope. If you're in here and you got thousands of days clean and you still hate yourself, that's your own shit. Get a sponsor. Get somebody who's going to tell you the truth. Work some steps.
Come on, man.
Right? And I had to accept I suffered from the disease of addiction. That I'm powerless. Right? You know, the second step, it talks about hope. Man, you all give me the hope. I believed in my sponsor. I was working a second step before I even got to a second step. And when I come to the, there's a question, the first step says, how's your disease manifested lately? Yep. Fucking multiple choice question, is it? I said, E, all the above, right? I didn't know how not to act out. But one thing I learned how to do is tell on myself. There's people in here that I talk to on a daily basis. What do you think? I ain't just because, thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. Thank God for a comeback. Thank God for relapse for me. Right? And when I accepted and I had that second surrender, right? And I gained some hope. See, I get emotional, man. Because, like, you know, I was in the darkest place of my life. You know, they told me drugs was just a symptom. I come around here with selective hearing. You know, they said, we promise you one thing, freedom from active addiction. Boom. Drugs is just a symptom. That's the only one I got. You know, I didn't know I had a mo problem. You know, I didn't want to see that. And if you don't think you got a problem, you ain't going to look for a solution. Well, after relapsing and coming back and understanding, see, when people was around me that was working steps and they was changing their life and they was trying to live with some integrity and a spiritual program, right, we were like oil and water. I had to get away from them, right? And it was all my own fear, right? I was scared they thought of me the same way I thought of myself. Unworthy piece of shit from Southwest Baltimore, right? And now today I know the disease is a liar, right? And talks about a gradual change in the third step, right? This process doesn't happen overnight, man. And it's like when I come here and I started writing, right? And I started writing, and I was getting gut-level honest with my sponsor. And I was crying, and I really admitted I was powerless over this thing, man. I'm powerless over people, places, and things. And I started accepting responsibility, because like Dawn was talking about, man, I never had the ability to take personal responsibility for anything, right? I was always pointing fingers. For the first time in my life, man, I didn't have nobody to point at. I had to own it. And I had a sponsor to help me see it and to invest time in me, man, because I hated myself, right? To the core. I was ashamed, man. And if you're new in here, man, welcome, man. You know, if you need a hug, you got one. Because believe you me, man, when I walked back to them doors, right, I didn't feel worthy of one. I didn't come back to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous for step 1, 2, and 3. The hugs you all give me, the unconditional love you all showed me, give me a second day, and then a third day. And my sponsor always told me, man, I'd have tears in my eyes, right? And I would say, John, thank you. And he'd say, nah, bro, thank you for allowing me to watch you come back to life. And the second step talks about this void, man, this hole that begs to be filled. Thank God for a sponsorship and an understanding, because see, I never knew how to do anything healthy. Everything I did, when I was filling that void, it was for unspiritual things. Now it's family, love, godly things, man. You know, and believe you me, my perspective's changed. You know, I come around here with a Southwest Baltimore mentality. You know, I come around here, it's funny, man. If you work in the first step and you do acceptance, right? I started shooting dope to be accepted. I come in Narcotics Anonymous and want to be accepted by the same guys I shot dope with. I wanted to be a part of that crew. Well, every one of that crew used with double digits clean. And when they say the same article use again, they will. If you're in here living on somebody else's coattail, good luck. Find your own God. Cast your own shadow around here, man. You know? And I had to accept that, man. And when I come around here again, I had to raise my hand. I went all these other areas, man. You know? I went to Dundalk. I went down the Lightning Bug District down in Annapolis and the Bay Area, and I raised my hand. And my name's Mo, and I'm an addict. Right? So full of fear that one of these guys are going to walk up to me and say hi. And I started working steps, man, and like coming to believe, right? The things that used to be okay with me, right? You know, recovery is a change of ideas, attitudes, and behaviors, right? Now I wasn't acting the same way. I wasn't participating in all that nonsense, right? And it wasn't okay anymore. So I had to change my network of guys and women for my own recovery. You know, for my own well-being, you know? And it was like, because sometimes what I learned today, right, is I'm just as powerless today as I was thousands of days ago, right? Sometimes I want to take on other people's shit. You know, I can't control my own drug use, but I'm going to try to control yours. And the whole thing of it is, man, I'm denying them their pain and enabling them to be the best drug addict they can be. And what I learned, you know, through making a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand Him, man, I don't need a reason to do the right thing. Just do the fucking right thing. You know? Everybody says do the next right thing for the next right reason. Well, I don't need the right reason. I'm just going to do the right thing. You know? And it's like coming around here, man, not understanding. You know, they said, I can't, he can, let him. Well, I can't, he can, and I know it. Letting him's the problem. Right? Letting go of the wheel. You know? Driving that train. Right? I want to drive. My sponsor tells me, look, dummy, you got a GPS to a new way of life, and you're going to read a map, you dumbass. Follow a little simple direction. That's all. With his glasses down like this, it's funny as shit. And he looks out at me. And I already know I'm special. You know, denial's a bitch. My sponsor says, when you're in denial and don't know it, you're in a lot of trouble. See, I try not to put myself in them situations. I'm not in denial. I know what I'm doing. Right? Me and Mark was talking today. Today. Just because you put some days together, you got some steps under your belt, you got a network of guys. What are you doing when they ain't looking? What do? Sometimes, 5:30 in the morning, I'm at the Horseshoe. Right? You want to get honest? You want to talk about being powerless? Listen, it's nice when you come home with $8,000 or $9,000. But when you come home broke and the birds are chirping and you got to look at a blind grizzly bear. And admit I'm powerless. I surrender. I can't win this one. They say when we're done justifying and rationalizing that outrageous bullshit, we got a choice. And like Dawn was saying today, man, just a little while ago, you know, we ain't perfect. If anybody in here says that that head don't race once in a while, run. Run. Abandon ship. Because they're lying. It gets better. You know, I remember, man, with thousands of days clean, with a beautiful home, and couldn't sit in it. Because my head was racing. In a group of people, I wasn't alone. Right? I ran from myself. I hated myself. I didn't understand it was a solution to this problem. Being honest, open-minded, and willing to do a little something different, man. And when I was beaten, I was willing. And it sucked hearing the truth. It sucks when your sponsor says, what if she don't take you back? And I'm looking for reasons to blame her. She's got a bunch of days clean, and I'm snorting dope off the dryer in the back. And she got the courage to change her life, and I felt she left me behind. Thank God for you all, man. Thank God for God. Thank God for the ability to build relationships around here. And like I said, the disease of addiction brought me to my knees, and God brought me to my knees too. I thank God every day for this new way of life, man. Because I don't have all the monetary things, but you can't buy what I got. And it ain't for sale. And if you're new around here, man, just keep coming, man. My sponsor told me your life's going to change without your permission. And I'm thinking again, I don't disrespect nobody this way. I say, you're full of shit. Well, guess what started happening? My life started changing without my permission. And I started putting one foot in front of the other, man. And all, everything started coming back together, man, the hope. And I remember having all these things, right? My brother-in-law and sister-in-law is in here, right? And I remember me and Deb getting a cobalt, right? After having all these nice things, right? Got this, like, 1994 cobalt. You'd have thought I got in a Lamborghini, right? With 100,000 miles on it. Grateful. Grateful, man. Like, wow. We got a shot, right? Got some hope, man. And then what I do know is hope turns to faith. See, I know, right? Faith and fear don't run side by side, right? I know as long as Mo don't put one of them yadamines up in him, it's going to be all right. I believe in that. You know, proof's in the pudding, Jack. You know, and it's like, nobody has to tell me that I changed. Because, see, it talks about in our literature, a ray of light shines through our spirit that starts this spiritual awakening, right? Well, I believe in that. That's my conscience, right? Well, I'm going to tell you this. I can't do the things I used to do and lay my head on a pillow at night. My old lady all the time says, you fall asleep in 1 minute, babe. I'd like to know how you do it. I said, your spirit's tampered. I can't tell you what she says back. got my kids back in my life, man. Matt and Alyssa, I got a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old. I got a beautiful, significant other. She's in her home group right now. We're both in recovery. Break the cycle, right? My children don't see all that nonsense. I don't allow. I don't allow. You know, I got friends of mine in here struggling that I love, and it hurts. And for the longest time, right, I didn't think I was affecting anybody but myself. Until I started working steps and understanding a little bit, right, that this disease can rob other people of their peace as well. And that's when I got to go back to the first step and accept that I'm powerless. And I try to put my hands in shit and control it. You know, I try to carry the attic instead of the message. And every time it's a resentment. Because I put unrealistic expectations on people. But man, to come up here, right, to be asked to share a convention of 1, 2, and 3, it's like, I never signed up to be no fucking NA evangelist. This isn't what I signed up for, right? Because I used to be the one in the back, to get totally honest, right? I would be the one in the back sitting there saying, them phony bastards up there. That's because of the way I was living. Right? I don't judge a book by their cover anymore. You know, I want to get to know you. You know, and, you know, I'm just real grateful, man, to be able to have a choice today, man. When I wake up in the morning, you know, the gift is losing the obsession to use. The freedom's in the steps, right? I lost the obsession to use drugs. You know, the thought comes, it's dismissed. I know the disease is a liar. I've done enough work on myself to know it's a liar, right? But I still suffer from low self-esteem, low self-worth, and all that shit. When I'm living a certain way, the disease sponsors me. If I do one, I follow direction. When the disease tells me to get one more, I do. I'm telling you. I'm the best sponsee the disease ever had. But guess what? I'm tired of being in the rink getting banged up by the disease of addiction. I got a sponsor that's a pretty good trainer. I learned how to bob and weave, Jack. You know, and the first thing I did is listen to me, man. The hardest thing it was for me to do is tell on the disease. And I'm talking about, it talks about in the first step, it talks about spiritual and emotional lapse that can cause relapse. Well, nobody told me with 6.5 years clean, my mother was going to get diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Nobody was going to tell me, Mo, you got plenty of money. You can take care of her. I didn't have the ability to look at my friends with thousands of days clean to say I'm crying myself to sleep. I'm emotionally distraught. I want to get high. Right? And from not doing any work on yourself, the disease backed me in a corner I couldn't get out of clean. The disease didn't whisper in my ear, Mo, what a son you've been. It said, you piece of shit. You was in prison your whole 20s. You robbed her. You took everything from her and all that. Well, guess what happens? When you look for a reason long enough, you find one. And once you put it in you, God bless you. I don't care how many days you got clean. You can't put it to sleep with NyQuil. And if you're here for the first time or you got 1,000 days clean, please stay. You see that door? It's a lot harder to make it back through it than to stay here. Take it from this Audi crash dummy. I didn't listen. Bundy, remember that time you said, are you working steps? We had to break that conversation. I took a 20. Boom. But he could thank God for this. But if somebody would have told me 5.5 years ago, right, that I would have the life I have today, right, and I ain't talking about monetary shit,
come on,
I would say you're a liar. You know, I heard somebody say a long time ago, right, they said, if I could give you this gift of recovery, I wouldn't. Once again, Mo, don't disrespect them out loud. I said, you self-righteous bitch. And you know what she said? She says, I don't want to ruin the surprise.
That's right.
And I don't want to ruin the surprise, man. Work some steps. Find out who you are. Gain a voice. You know, it's a lot easier being a gentleman and a godly person than it is to be a dickhead. Because check this out. This is real talk. When you sit around, right, and you act a certain way, you got a responsibility, predecessor, to the newcomers walking through the door to show them a new way and the right way. Take it from me. I signed a lot of death certificates because I showed a lot of newcomers the wrong way. It's nice to have a little self-respect. It's nice to have a lot of relationships worth having. And I apologize to that chick that I called a self-righteous bitch in my head. And it was until you opened that gift and you got the surprise and the freedoms that come with it. Wow. Like I said, I got relationships in here that I wouldn't trade for the world, man. And, you know, thank God for sponsorship. Because if you ain't got the best sponsors in the world, you better find one. Because I got one, Jack, that invested a lot of time in me. And I kept my word, man. I got a couple sponsors as well. And there's two things I tell them. Work steps, help somebody. And, man, that's about all I got. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Thanks for letting me share.